Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would say that he sort of sets the table for one of the things that we've been talking about today, which is that these decisions that are going on inside the minds of the Warriors front office, I really do, Dibs, I think they've already been made. And again, you don't know if you're going to be able to do them.
Right.
But what I mean by decisions is your approach. Right, you start every day with a to-do list. Like, this is what we're going to try to go do. You don't know if it's going to happen. There might be traffic. Somebody might get sick. You might get in a fender bender.
Safeway might be out of boneless, skinless chicken breasts.
It could be. The bridge could be closed.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Good call.
Okay, but you know what your intent is at the start of the day. I think the Warriors know what their intent is for 2024-25.
Andrew Wiggins.
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Like, I mean,
they tried to trade him at the deadline.
I don't know
according
how.
To reports.
The idea, everybody we've talked to has so firmly stated that the Warriors are in love with Jonathan Kuminga. So all of this, like, which one do you keep? Or other teams are going to want Kuminga. I just think the Warriors are like this close to being like, hard no. What else you want to talk about? We're not talking about that.
Don't talk about that.
No. The answer's no. What else? And if that's where they are, well, yeah, you kind of have to trade Andrew Wiggins. All of the discussion about whether or not they work well together.
Exactly.
Combined with, if you want to make a big swing, you've got to get a bunch of salary off of your roster. You could do that by letting Clay walk. Here's a guess. They won't. So how are you going to maneuver things in terms of salary? Andrew Wiggins. And I think he is more desired around the league than we think. Still a good player. And he's not making that much money.
No, it's tempting because, you know, you can look at Andrew at his best, and he's a classic change of scenery guy. If you're another team, you look at Andrew and you think, wow, I've seen him at his best. What if we got him in here and we made him feel comfortable and we coached him up? Maybe he just needs a change of scenery. Maybe he just needs to be in a place where his teammates or teammate, in this case, is not so heavy-handed with him. Maybe it's the right group of guys where he can go and thrive based on teammates, head coach, a less pressurized environment. I don't know what the fit would be, but if you are one of the other 29 teams, you would look at Andrew and his salary and think, yeah, he's not overpaid. He might be underpaid for his potential.
Might be.
And if you can get a first round pick or two coming back, you might be willing to part with an asset, an expiring asset.
It's such a fascinating dynamic because as I'm sitting here listening to you talk about, like, okay, what's the space that Andrew needs to be in? What's the roster where he fits? And I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm going, it's here. And well, I don't and I don't mean that you should keep him. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that conversation is exactly the one we had 4 years ago. When Andrew arrived, it was like, oh, this works. And we went, why is it working now? And it's because you're not asking Andrew to be a one or a two. And then for a month and a half, he was a two. He was a true two. And then we've been judging him based on that month and a half ever since. And the reason Andrew worked all along was because all you were asking him to be was rotation plus. In other words, be a starter, be a really good one, be a scoring option, not the scoring option. And what happened is Andrew flirted with being amazing. We've judged him on it since, but the whole time for the first half of Andrew Wiggins' tenure here, it worked. And the reason it worked is he could be a three. He could even be a four. And it was okay on this team. What's happened in the last 2 years is that the ability of the teammates around him has been such that there's no more two. Clay's not a two anymore. So now everyone's looking at Andrew going, would you please be a two again? Andrew's like, I thought I worked here because I could be a three. So what Andrew needs is for you to not demand and depend on him being a one or a two. Outside of that, he's still a very good player. And so I firmly believe he can be a three. What the Warriors need is a two. And it's not Andrew, and it's not Clay, and it's not Jonathan yet.
Well, Andrew has been more like a four or five this year. And you look at the year he's had.
At times.
He's averaging 13 a night, which his career, he's been rock solid between 17 and 23. 23 was the outlier with Minnesota, but year in and year out, he's been a rock solid 18 points a night. And this year, his shooting percentage has gone down. His shooting attempts have gone down. Points are down. Everything across the board, assists are down. And his dauber has been down, quite frankly.
Well, but you're Andrew, talking about the I'm first talking half about, of the year. That's the first half of the
you
year.
You can look at the last 15
about.
Games and you can see that he started to play better, yeah. But it was more than the first half. It was the first 55 or 60 games, and he's been very much flaccid as an NBA player. He's been non-existent, and he's been, I mean, he's been your four, maybe, and your point is well taken. They need a two, and they don't have a two. And Steph is a little exasperated and exhausted at being the one, especially when you don't have Draymond Green for a third of the year. And Klay Thompson struggled in the first couple of months. And so this was the time where you needed Andrew Wiggins to step up and be that guy. And he just hasn't been. He's played the fewest minutes per game of his career. He's averaging the lowest points per game by far of his career. And it's just kind of run its course here.
Yeah, but a upward trajectory almost the entire time. Like, again, that October and November run where he was averaging just barely double digits.
Right.
And I know this is a small sample, but it's a current sample, so I find it relevant. In the month of April, he's averaging 17 a night.
Right.
And his percentages
don't
are
go
good.
Back to March 31st when he had 4 points. We'll just draw the line on April 1st.
But Dibs, two nights before that he had 20, yeah. And two nights before that he had 23. Like, granted, if you're going to take that month as a whole, it was 13.4. You know, but 3-point percentage, 37. This is viable. It's not great, but that's viable. Yeah. That's solid enough.
I would just look at it from when he came back from his 4-game absence when he needed to take time for his own personal issues. And since then, 20 games, he's averaging 14.5, shooting 37%, as you mentioned, which is a lot better than it was. 5 rebounds, which is better than it's been. He had a nice end of the year. The last 20 games, he was better.
Which is
still not great.
No, but it's relevant if you're another team looking at his performance.
Trajectory,
again,
yes.
Right. Like, this is a 29-year-old player who, in my mind, absolutely, right scenario, what's being asked of him from his team, whatnot, can this person still go out and give you between 15 to 18 a night for an entire season at $23 or $24 million a year? Yeah! 26 next year? No question. Especially with what he can do on the other end of the floor. Like, again, my only point is this. Our experience within the last 2 years and the frustrations that have surrounded that make us think, oh, the rest of the league's not going to want Andrew Wiggins. I don't think that's the case. They're not frustrated. He hasn't bothered them at all.
Right.
He hasn't walked, you know what I mean? He hasn't missed time for them. He hasn't not been aggressive for them. They're looking at him. And again, if you know who Andrew is and you have it within your roster to only ask him to do that, he can do that very well and be that guy that on some nights when you need him to can be like, yeah, I can go for 26 tonight.
Yeah.
I can go for 30 tonight.
I might surprise you and go for three.
Might?
I might hit you for eight.
Yeah, but you know what? That's like, that player is all over the NBA.
Right.
Everything about Andrew Wiggins is always the backdrop. It's always the backdrop. Minnesota was mad because he was number one overall. That's his backdrop. Unfortunately, yet fortunately, the backdrop for Andrew became an absolute six-week heater that led to a parade. And then we've like sort of used that as the standard ever since. And that's probably not right. I'm not saying it's not fair. Andrew did it. It's in there somewhere. Right. But that's not who you want to ask Andrew to be. Because if you do that, you'll be disappointed.
I have a question for you guys. Let's rewind to last year when Andrew Wiggins missed the final, 25 games of the regular season. Then he came back for the playoffs against the Sacramento Kings. In that seven-game series last year against the Kings, who do you think was the Warriors' second leading scorer?
Okay, just in the Sacramento series last year.
Those seven games.
Was the second leading scorer.
We know Steph, obviously.
You're talking about total points or points per game?
Points per game, but these guys all played seven games.
Because Draymond only played six, so I didn't know if there was a trick question.
Draymond was the fifth leading scorer in the series.
Mm. Well, you're setting it up for Andrew Wiggins to be the answer. So I'll say Andrew Wiggins.
You agree, Willard?
Yeah, I mean, it's either Andrew or Clay, and I know that Clay did not have a great playoff, so sure, I'll agree.
It was Clay, just over 20 per game.
Okay.
But Andrew Wiggins is not far behind, over 18 per game and about 6 rebounds per game.
Yeah.
18 and 6 in seven games, off a 25-game absence.
If that's what you want him to do, he'll do it, and that absolutely costs $25 to $30 million in the NBA. No question. So
why are we so eager to get him off the team then? It's because he doesn't do it consistently enough.
Fit.
He's an inconsistent player.
I disagree.
He's very inconsistent.
I beyond disagree that the Warriors are like, it's not that they don't want that on the team. It doesn't fit. They now have a 21-year-old budding star who needs more room, and Andrew gets in his way, and the Warriors need more in the front court, not in the wings. They've got wings. They got people who can do that. You lose Andrew Wiggins, and you still got a concoction of Clay and Kuminga and Pajemski, and you're like, we can get some things done here. What they need is front court. They need height. They need more rebounding. I know they're good rebounders, but you know what I mean. They need people to be able to defend other bigs, so that Draymond Green is not being asked to be Hercules at 6'7". And guard Jokic and AD in the West. That's what they need. And Wiggins is potentially your ticket to do it, along with other things, along with other assets.
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy. I don't think it's a home run, slam dunk, but I don't think it's crazy.
Well, I think it's a long shot to get the kind of big you're talking about, because if you want to go around the league and look at the other bigs, a lot of those players are on teams that like those players. So I don't know what team is going to be willing to part with their front court legit player who can come in here and be your two, because it's all I've heard is, you know, the Warriors need a two. And you're not wrong. And they need somebody to come in and be the two. And if Kuminga's not ready to be the two, we know that Andrew is not interested in being the two. And Clay may or may not be here, so you're going to bring in somebody with size and the front court depth and somebody who can ostensibly be your second best player. I don't know if that player is going to be available via trade. I don't know what team would be looking to shop their 6'10" big who's a really good player.
The Utah Jazz. That's who.
Lauri Markkanen.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know if they would.
One idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great idea. That's a name that I've been throwing out for
sure.
Months going back to the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, his name came up at the deadline a lot,
yep.
and he didn't move. But, yeah, That is an example of what I'm talking about. Do I think the Warriors have the non-Kuminga assets to entice Utah? Probably. I don't know what other, you know, he's not going to be the only team that wants him.
Well, and Markkanen only makes like $15 million, so you'd have to probably take some slop back with him to make it work.
But, I mean, it's an expiring deal, so it's about to get really big.
Right.
The year after. So, Jordan in Aurora, Colorado. Hey, Jordan, you're on with Willard and Dibbs. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
I had a couple questions I wanted to put on your brain. The first being, how much of Steve Kerr's contract extension do you feel was contingent upon the understanding that he will be coaching this core going forward, Steph, Clay, and Draymond? Secondly, is Kenny Atkinson going to be back next season? He was exploring some head coaching opportunities last offseason. If this season is deemed a disappointment, will there be those type of changes, not named Clay, Wiggins, or Kuminga?
Okay.
Lastly.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I got to write these questions down. All right. The second question was Atkinson. The first question was whether or not Steve Kerr
had his extension
were contingent on the big three being there. What's the third question?
So the third question is, if we don't make it out the play-in, what's the most disappointing season to you? Is it this season or the Kelly Oubre season? And real quick, the do we keep Andrew Wiggins or do we trade him conversation has been a polarizing one in the Dubs community, but it's truly not to me. When we acquired him, I didn't see him as a guy who would retire in a Warriors jersey. How many guys in the league are on the same team today that they were on in 2019, all-star players even? So you don't have to squeeze every drop out of a guy before you look to get better. The Bill Belichick mantra, it's better to be early than late. I just wanted to leave you with that. I appreciate it.
Okay, Jordan, thank you. I thought that was the Bill Walsh mantra, not the Bill Belichick mantra. I'm going to give it to Bill Walsh. He was there first. Get out a year early rather than a year late. But let's not split hairs. All right, one by one. First question was Steve Kerr's extension. Is there a contingency on the big three being there? I would argue there can't be. That would presuppose that other human beings are involved in that.
Like Clay, for example.
Clay Thompson's a free agent. Yeah. Will Steph and Draymond be there? Yes, they will. Like, yes. Personally, this is me. I think we can stop with all the we should trade Draymond talk. It ain't happening.
That's not going to happen.
He's a Warrior.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a Warrior.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry, obviously, is Steph Curry. You can't, like, tell Clay Thompson, so we're signing Steve Kerr to extension, so you have to stay. Like, what do you want? What's the offer out there? I don't know. I think that he would like it to be together. Every NBA insider we talk to thinks the Warriors and Clay will figure it out. But, I mean, the only answer we can give you, I guess, would be no. There's not an actual contingency in place. That wouldn't be possible.
Right. It is impossible because you don't control what Clay is going to do. And Steve signs his extension knowing that Steph has two more years under contract and Draymond has three. So those things were contingencies that were already in place before Steve signed. So did that make Steve Kerr more likely to stay? Absolutely. I would imagine he likes coaching Draymond and Steph, even though Draymond puts him through the ringer. And I'm sure it's more headaches than he would ever care to admit, but he's won four titles with those guys.
The next question was about Kenny Atkinson.
Yes.
And whether or not he would be back. I'm sure, like any assistant coach, if there are interviews out there for head coaching jobs, Kenny Atkinson would probably take those interviews. I don't think that he would be leaving because of some sort of disappointment or like this being a punitive thing by the Warriors to move on from Kenny Atkinson. I don't hear anything like that.
No, and there are generally 3 to 5 to 6 NBA coaching openings that pop up around the association, and he's a guy who will be a candidate for many of them. And if he wants to go out there and interview, and if he gets offered another job to be a head coach, then he'll probably move on. And it's what we've seen from many members of Steve's staff. Luke Walton went out and got a job. Mike Brown is coaching in Sacramento. They'll see him tonight. Other assistants have gone on. Alvin Gentry, who had been a coach before, went out and he got a head coaching job again. So Kenny Atkinson, I'm sure, will look for an opening. And if he gets an offer, he'll take a job.
And I think the last question was, what in recent years, what's the most disappointing season? This one versus the Oubre year? I don't find this season to be, like, overwhelmingly disappointing. It's disappointing, but I guess that word is tied to each individual's preseason expectations. They won 46 games. If you had asked me before the year, that's probably about what I would have guessed.
The over-under was 48.5.
Yeah, I mean, like a few more, probably, shoulda, coulda, woulda, all of that. I'd like for them to not, I didn't think they'd be the 10 seed. I didn't think the Western Conference would stack like this. So that's a big part of it. I would call it, like, if it was 48.5 and they got 46, I think that describes it perfectly. I think it was mildly disappointing.
For me, the answer is the Oubre year was more disappointing than this one. You were in the 7-8 play-in and you lost, and then you had to play the second play-in game and you also lost. You went 39-33, and it was frustrating to watch Kelly Oubre Jr. out there playing the way he plays. So I think that year was more frustrating than this one.
All right, we are just over an hour and a half away from basketball right here on 95.7 The Game. The Kings hosting the Warriors in the 9-10 play-in game, and a chance for a trip to either New Orleans or L.A. On Friday night, and obviously the loser goes home. So kind of temperature check. Like, how's everybody feeling right now? What word would sort of describe it? Like the anxiety, the nervousness. Again, for me, I love this stuff so much that I just want it to keep going. And so for that reason, there will be a lump in the throat every time they go to a timeout because the Kings went on a 7-0 run. Like that's going to suck. I grant you that. But I like the Warriors' chances tonight. But I lower the anxiety. Like, I'm not freaking out because of the point we've made. I just don't. I've removed this from the idea of what we're about to watch, ... means blank. I just think it means they either get to play Friday or they don't. That's really it. And I love it so much that that's enough for me. But I'm not looking at individual performances tonight to base, and figure out an opinion on who gets traded and who doesn't get traded and whether this is embarrassing. Like, I don't know. I don't know why this would be embarrassing. They're playing a really good basketball team in a one-game scenario. I mean, the funniest thing of all is that, I don't know if you felt this way, but when Grandy and Lucas texted that earlier, when you guys said it would be embarrassing if they lose, you followed up if it would also be embarrassing for Sacramento if they lose. I'm like, well, it can't be embarrassing either way. Like, that seems like an odd thing to feel.
I think Lucas disagreed with that. That was all me. But
why do you feel that way?
I mean, if I'm a Kings fan, I look at this Warriors team and just how they've shot themselves in the foot time and time and time again this year. The Draymond situation and the fans freaking out about Wiggins being away from the team and Clay going to the bench and now he's starting again and Steph Curry crying on the court. Like, you just see everything that's happened to this team and you're like, all right, we should be able to take them. Like, you should be able to do that. But then on the Warriors' perspective, you see a Kings team who doesn't have Malik Monk, who's been terrible the last, like, month and a half of the season. I feel like both sides are like, oh, yeah, we got this. We should be able to get it.
I don't know if Kings fans feel that way. Do you notice how much quieter it is this time around versus last year? In terms of the bravado, the confidence, the beam. It feels so much quieter. I know we haven't had a whole lot of time to lead up, and this time it's not a series, it's one game. But doesn't it feel like, especially because they're missing two of their best players? Like, if I had to bet on what tomorrow morning will sound like in both cities, is this city will likely be like, okay, New Orleans Friday night, I think we can do this if, and then fill in the blank, and whatever. Like, we'll do the same thing we've been doing all year there. The Kings fans are very likely to be like, well, two of our best players were out. So, that's why we lost. I mean, I think the Warriors will win a close game tonight. The Warriors will win by 5 tonight.
I think the Kings were a lot more cocky and sure of themselves last year because they were the 3 seed. And this year, you limped into the nine. And I say limped in because they lost six of their last 10 and they played 500 ball for the last 2.5 months. And yeah, you lost two of your key players. So the feeling would be one more of dread. Dread with hope. You know, you're hopeful. It's a home game and we played them tough. Three of the four times we played Golden State, and even the one, the first game, was still a close game. It was single digits. So you feel like it should be an even matchup and you're at home and your crowd's going to be into it. And so you're hopeful, but to your point, if they do lose, I think you would look at the injuries and you'd look at the collapse. And I do think there'll be a lot of finger pointing at the head coach, Mike Brown, who has taken a lot of criticism of late because they've blown a lot of leads down the stretch. 20-point lead the other night, blown. And, you know, I don't know how much of that is really on the coach, but we all like to blame the coach for whatever goes wrong with our team.
I mean, the Warriors have blown a bunch of games,
Sacramento
too.
Sacramento fans, I think, will be, they'll be filled with dread tonight, partly because it's the Warriors. And you remember what happened last year in Game 7 when Golden State got on the bus and Steph scored 50 and ran you out of your own gym, and your quaint little run that you were hoping to go on, first time in the playoffs in about 15 or so years, and it ended like that. And now here come the Warriors again. So I think Kings fans are filled much more dread. Warrior fans, if they lose tonight, I do think that you're going to look at it and you'll have a certain amount of frustration and anger.
Well, sure.
But by the time a day or two goes by, you'll realize you can't win every year. And, you know, we're on to Secaucus and the draft lottery.
Yeah, the Kings thing is pretty interesting, especially when Friedel commented on how the Warriors have a mental edge on the Kings. That might be a very, very big key tonight, which is that the Kings do have bad muscle memory of this matchup. And now the one guy, wouldn't you agree with this, Dibs? There was one guy in a Kings uniform who I felt sort of like was able to mentally get over on the Warriors. And it's Malik Monk, and he's not playing tonight. And so that's another reason why this whole thing might feel a little bit muted from the Sacramento side. Fox has been fantastic against the Warriors, but he's just fantastic, period. Like, I think the world of De'Aaron Fox. He's just a tremendous player. And he might be a problem tonight, and he is. He's very clutch. So those close games in the fourth quarter against the Kings, that scares you a little bit. But outside of that, yeah, I think Nick's right. Like, you look at this matchup, and the mental side of this cannot be dismissed. I think it's going to be true for the game that's on right now as well. If that game is close into the fourth quarter, huge edge to the Lakers. Huge edge.
Yeah, not too close right now. Lakers up 9 quickly.
Because they outplayed them throughout the year, and because when you have games like this, and just, it's like when you watch them on TV. When you have a close game, you're coming down the stretch, and LeBron James has the ball in his hands, you're like, oh, crap. That's why I want them to win tonight. I don't want to see them on Friday.
Right.
And I want them to play the Nuggets, because they'll lose, which is tremendous. But it's just an uncomfortable feeling, and it's got to be the same feeling for the Kings tonight. You had a close game, and the ball's in Steph's hands. In an elimination game, it's like, oh, my God, all of the PTSD comes flying into the building.
Yeah, the dread I was talking about, I think that's a lot of it. You're right, and it's because of what happened last year in Game 7, and it's also the notion of, and even though De'Aaron Fox is not old enough to know about the historical trends of Golden State and Sacramento, but there is the little brother mentality that permeates the organization, and the Warriors have won 4 titles, and Sacramento's been trying to do all it can to just win a series.
Let's go to Bob and Marin here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Bob, what are you doing?
Went to walking the dogs route because I was watching the Lakers game, so got to walk the dogs. But anyway, just listening to you guys, seems like the NBA would want to see the Lakers and the Warriors play. We'll see. I mean, Lakers are up by 11, I think. Just watching the score here. But the one thing I would say, the key to Warriors tonight, you guys tell me. I'm not really sure if what the starting lineup is, but I think they're going to have to start with the big man, with Trayce Jackson-Davis. And I think how they close out the game, they're probably going to go to the small lineup. And is that small lineup going to include Kuminga because he's hurt, or are they going to bring somebody off the bench like Moody to close out the Kings. I think it'll be a close game. You guys are right. It'll be close at the end, and yeah, it might be 3, 4, maybe 5 points. It won't be very much across from what the spread's calling for.
Bob, I mean, don't you think the likelihood is that starting lineup is going to be the starting lineup that they used? I mean, it's going to be TJD and Draymond and Steph and Clay and Wiggs and Kuminga will come off the bench. The closing lineup is more interesting, A, because it's closing, but B, I wonder how set in stone or planned that is. Like, I have no doubt that the Warriors coaching staff has sat around in a circle and discussed this, and they have a plan, but I wonder how open they are to a deviation from that plan. A big deviation sensation.
Yeah, thank you.
A deviation from that plan. If something they see in the game calls for it.
Yeah,
so, in other words, that whole Kuminga Wiggins thing, like, who's playing better? Then maybe that's who gets to close.
Also, the Chris Paul factor, because you brought Chris Paul in. Yes, you wanted to get off the Jordan Poole contract, but you also brought Chris Paul in to be the point god late in games, be a steadying influence on the ball. And you've seen Chris Paul in many of these closing lineups for that very reason, because he's a guy who won't be careless with the basketball. He's going to make the smart play. He's going to find his teammates and get Clay open shots and get the ball to Steph as well. So you might see a closing lineup that has neither Wiggins nor Kuminga. It could be Steph, Clay, Draymond, TJD, and Chris Paul.
Yeah, absolutely, it could be.
Depending on, you know, the matchups and how they go, because you could put Draymond on Sabonis, your guy, and you won't do it a ton, but there's also some thought that maybe you put Draymond on Fox a little bit, because he did that last year in the best of seven, and that way, if they're going to run screen and roll, then he's automatically on Sabonis on the switch anyway.
That's one concern that I do have, is the fact that you do not have GP2 available for any minutes in defending De'Aaron Fox is a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
No doubt. So they have to get creative with Fox. He's fantastic. And then hope that one of the other Kings doesn't catch fire. And one of the reasons you feel good is the number of people on the Kings who have the ability to catch fire is so much lower. There's no Monk. There's no Herder. So, yeah, watch out for Barnes. Watch out for Murray. And if you can relatively keep them in check and keep them shooting three-pointers, because they will do that, but defend that three-point line well, then, yeah, you're probably – I mean, that's why the game we think would go the way that it would go. Again, the whole on-paper thing.
Yeah.
But I just chuckle at that, because I'm a Warrior fan, and I've watched them all year long. I don't know why in the hell any of us would worry about what they're doing on paper. They haven't played one game on paper all year. How many times this year have the Warriors gone out and looked like you thought they were going to look when the game started?
You could probably count it on one, maybe two hands.
No joke.
Where, I mean, think about just the recent spate of games. The Portland game's a great example. You go up against Portland, and Portland is sitting everybody, and the Warriors have to dig deep in the final 4 or 5 minutes to pull that thing out. And you know, we're looking at that game, and you might have even bet it, and spread was 14 and a half.
I did bet it, and that was probably the most angry I've been watching a Warrior game this year.
Right.
And it wasn't because of the bet. I couldn't care less about that.
They're going to lose the game.
If they were going to lose the game, I was legit. I was ready to snap.
They were down five with like 7 minutes to go.
He's
getting late.
Good Lord.
It was getting late.
I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Right. So to your point about playing it on paper, not a lot of these games have gone according to the plan that we all think should be laid out. You're favored by 14 to hook against Portland, who's sitting six of their best players, and you have to dig deep to get the win. And I go back to that game in Memphis when G.G. Jackson erupted for, I think, 25. It's like, who? Are you sure this isn't Jaren Jackson? Oh, no, this is G.G. Jackson. And the Warriors lost to Memphis, who didn't have any of their good players.
Couple of things real quick with regard to how this week could play out if the Warriors are fortunate enough to win a basketball game tonight. The Lakers are up by 12 right now. There's 21 seconds to go until the break. And the Lakers have the ball. So they're probably either going to be up 12, 14, or 15 here at the break. And that is exactly why I got no interest in seeing them on Friday night. It's not that they're too good. It's not that the Warriors can't beat them. But I'm watching this game, and their size is absolutely killing the Pelicans. When LeBron and AD decide to play at their best, they're still LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
And they are very, very annoyingly difficult. So I hope that Warrior fans are able to wrap their heads around this and put sort of like your fan ego away. The Pelicans are a better matchup, and the Lakers will lose to Denver. So you should be all in, all the chips in the middle of the table right now on the Lakers having a good second half and winning that basketball game. It is better for Golden State.
Yeah, assuming that Golden State can get by tonight. And, you know, you go to New Orleans, if that's the way it goes, you take your chances. Zion just went end-to-end with a nifty little left-hand finish to put the Pels down 10 at the break. And I don't think the Pelicans are a great matchup for the Warriors, but they're a better matchup than the Lakers, I think. Yes. I agree with you.
No doubt. And the Pelicans can be really, really tough when they hit a bunch of three-point shots, which they were on a heater last week when they went 1-2 punch, I think on, was it Sacramento? They beat Sac, and then they beat the Warriors on their trip.
Back-to-back nights.
And CJ McCollum couldn't miss. He couldn't miss. And they don't look as good tonight. Let's just put it that way. Things get a little tight when suddenly you are facing elimination. We're sponsored by Robert Half, and your phone call's still welcome. We are moving toward game time. How you feeling? How's your confidence? What's the word to describe your emotions? 888-957-9570. Let's talk it out. This is Willard and Dibs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Crosses half court of the Golden State Warriors are moving on to round two to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Mike Brown, Steve Kerr with a big hug at center court. Great job by Mike Brown and his staff all year long. Final score, Golden State 120, Sacramento 100, and the Golden State Warriors advance.
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, there he is, Steve Kerr. Is he coaching for the last time tonight? You coaching?
Totally. That's all I can think of. You coaching?
You coaching?
No, he's not, Mark. He will coach again on Friday.
I think so, too.
And if it's a trip to the Big Easy in New Orleans, then so be it. Might mean a shorter show for you and I. You get to check the start time of that baby.
Yeah, well, you got to do the Eastern Conference thing too.
Oh yeah.
And so I don't know how early or late they can go. But you're right. I have a hard time imagining that they would start a game in New Orleans at 9 o'clock at night local time.
That'd be 7 out here.
That'd be a little wild.
Yeah, it'd be 10 in the East.
But whatever.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Let's go. It's the postseason. I do think, as you and I both predicted, that the Warriors would be in New Orleans on Friday. The Lakers are up by 10 at the half in that basketball game. Warriors coming up after this, but I'll stick with it. I think the Warriors can win this one. I think if Steph Curry is playing well, like that was one thing Nick Friedell said that in a way makes me a little nervous, because most people, when you watch Steph Curry in the last 4 weeks, the number one word I hear people say is not amazing. They say exhausted.
Right.
And Nick really thought the Warriors are not going to win this game unless Steph Curry is playing well. I don't think that's a given. I don't think that's a given. Just because he's Steph and he did it last year, I don't think it's one of those things where you can just snap your fingers. And so it was many moons ago that I decided to stop expecting the Warriors to come out and do what I thought they were going to do. But I will, at the end of it all, as we get ready for tonight's game, I will lay on this, which is that right now, for better, for worse, forget Friday, forget everything else. Right now, it's just a better basketball team than the Kings. It's one game, so I'm not dismissing the Kings at all. I would not be surprised if the Warriors lose tonight. But I'd be less surprised if they win. They're a better basketball team. They are a more equipped basketball team right now than the Kings are.
They're playing better. They're healthier. They've got more experience in these high leverage spots. I would be surprised if they didn't win. And I opened up the show and my confidence was about a 7.5 on a scale of 1 to 10. And I'm at about a 7 right now.
Who moved you down?
Just our conversation.
Okay.
It's gone down a little bit, but
why?
Not a ton. Well, because when you think about the point spread, and they don't build casinos across the country without having a certain amount of acumen and accuracy, and I'm seeing it at 1.5 point spread. And as we've gone through the show...
Oh, it's moving.
I saw it on ESPN Bet at 1.5, so, or actually 2.5. It opened at 1.5.
I got it at 3 right now.
Oh, and I actually see it. I just refreshed it to 3.5 now.
Yeah, I got it
on ESPN Bet. Even at that, 3.5 points is a 3-ball made or a 3-ball missed either way, right? That's not a blowout. And so as we've gone through and we've talked about everything we've talked about, this Warrior team on paper, well, you can crumple up that paper and throw it in the garbage, because the Warriors haven't been doing the on paper thing this year. When you think that they're going to play well, they lose. And when you think that they're all done and washed, they win 5 in a row. So I really don't know. And maybe that's why my confidence has gone down a little bit, because hearing you talk about it, you're right. When you talk about this team over 82 games, they've been good. They've been bad. They've been reliable. They've been shaky. They've been shakily unreliable. They've been everything and more. And so who knows in 48 minutes, really?
Yeah.
I mean, if Steph's off and Clay's off, and Draymond stomps on Sabonis and gets thrown out.
He's not going to do that.
Over under a half a tech for Draymond tonight.
Oh, he might get a tech.
Would you go over a half a tech for Day Day?
No.
He's getting teed up tonight for sure.
I'll go under. He can be as annoying as you think he could possibly be. He's still not as annoying as D'Angelo Russell. By the way, that was one of the funniest technical fouls I've ever seen in my entire life.
He and Alvarado got into it. Alvarado kind of gave him a head nudge.
Alvarado gave him something that deserved a tech.
And he got one immediately from Scott Foster, best in the business.
Scott Foster. All right.
Scott was right on it.
He was.
He adjudicated it properly.
What would that be?
That'd be an adjudication sensation, yeah, Mark. Yeah.
You can say that Scott Foster did well in that moment. Without making it a big old thing about how wonderful Scott Foster
is. Number 46 in your playbook, number 1 in my heart.
That's a lot of phone calls, brother.
And you know what happened
next?
D'Angelo Russell is celebrating and mocking the tee, and then, boop.
Yep. He got in Alvarado's face and gave him the thumbs up and laughed at him and clapped and went, ha-ha, you got a tee. And Scott goes, oh, yeah? That's a tee for you, too.
Boom.
And he goes, I didn't do anything. And we're all sitting there watching the game going, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You're an instigator. You're an instigator, D'Angelo.
Totally.
I do not enjoy watching him play.
Former Warrior.
And I did not enjoy watching him play when here. So, like, the whole, like, I don't enjoy watching Chris Paul play. I respect how good he is, but I don't enjoy watching him play. I see him through a different lens now. D'Angelo Russell, I will say it to the grave, because I watched him in this uniform, and I didn't like that either.
I didn't either. But watching Chris Paul in this uniform, maybe it's just because he's a Warrior now, but I'm not seeing him do a lot of the things that used to bug me about Chris Paul.
Well, I agree with you.
The theatrics.
He's on the floor less.
True.
And
he's not the focal point like he used to be.
Right, and so I wonder if he is got the ball in his hands a lot less. Therefore, the theatrics go down. He seems a little bit more formulaic as a player now than he used to be.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but back to tonight. Back to tonight. I just remove the anxiety. Try not to. This is just me talking. I'm going to try not to look at it through a big lens. I'm going to try to look at it through a small lens. So what I mean by that is I'm not thinking about, can they make noise in the playoffs? I'm not thinking about, is this Clay's last game? I'm going to remove all of those thoughts and just go, it's an elimination game. Can you win it? That's it.
Yeah.
This is like the purity of tonight.
Just going to use that word.
Yeah, that's what I'm focused on.
Yeah, the purity of an elimination game. You win, you get to play again. And it'll be either in New Orleans or Los Angeles, and that'll be determined here in the next hour or so. And if you lose, well, then you and I can meet back tomorrow, and we can start to really crack open all of the questions that we've been trying to put off. And I know we did a lot of off-season chatter yesterday and today. It's hard not to when you get to this point, but there will be a time when the off-season is upon us. I just hope that that isn't tonight at about 10:30 Pacific time.
Gosh, that's a visual, isn't it? I don't even know why. Like, I've sat here all day and told you, like, yeah, this is a losable game.
Yeah.
This is the Warriors. This is completely losable.
And it's 50-50.
About.
Yeah, probably 55-45.
Yeah, like, whatever. All Warrior games feel like they're 50-50,
exactly.
Even though they're not. You know, especially second half of the year. It's been a pretty good basketball team. But, boy, the thought you just threw at me that we might come in here tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon.
Yep.
And the NBA season could be over for the Warriors. Let's not do that.
Please.
Okay? Can we, I vote for something different.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Because the next up on your calendar would be the NBA draft lottery on May 12th.
No, thanks.
Exactly.
I'm out.
4 weeks.
All right,
thanks.
Man. Let's see. Is it... oh, it's both of you. Oh, look
at
you.
It's a special day.
Fancy pants. Look at them.
The roomies.
They're tag teaming.
Back
look
again.
Look at that. Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings. You could take that or and flush it.
Totally.
Tonight is an and. Okay.
Are you sure it's not Grandy versus Giddings?
Let me read this again. No, and.
Okay.
And it's bold and underlined.
I love it.
And.
Who got top billing?
Mark Grandy.
Atta boy. Yeah, you did.
Because he works on our show.
Grandy.
Yeah.
Grandy and friends.
Well,
Evan didn't write that read.
That's right.
Grandy did.
That's right. That's right. I was
good
gonna
third
say,
person.
I was going to say, Giddings comes before Grandy in the alphabet, and Evan comes before Mark.
Yeah.
But somehow...
I'm being selfish.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Okay.
Well, that's what's coming up in the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. It is Warriors Live. Here we freaking go,
Let's
people.
Let's go, baby.
Here we freaking go. Warriors Live with Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings. Warriors Kings, elimination sensation.
That's a buck.
Play-in tournament is about to unfold. Thank you. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Big time.
All right. We'll do it again tomorrow, no matter what. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Hey, Warriors, shoot your shot. It's literally all you got.
Hey, everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.